This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
Welcome to World Cafe. Hey, it's Kaleo. Alejandro Escovedo's career has taken many turns over the last six decades making music. From opening for the Sex Pistols at their last show as a member of the punk rock outfit The Nuns, to rocking with Austin's True Believers, and of course his solo career as a roots artist. Alejandro has never been afraid to scratch a different musical itch, and his latest album serves as a revisitation and reminder of what's made him essential listening in the first place. Echo Dancing puts a new spin on classics of Escovedo, like Sacramento and Polk, Wave, and Bury Me. The arrangements, courtesy of co-producer Don Giovanni, are filled with drum machines and synths. It brings a different, sometimes darker energy to the mix that wouldn't feel out of place on a Suicide or Nine Inch Nails album. Once a punk, always a punk. I caught up with Alejandro to talk about revisiting these songs and why he's not a fan of the term Americana. Our session begins with a performance recorded at KUT in Austin, Texas. Here's Alejandro Escovedo with Bury Me.
It's the one.
Recorded live at KUT in Austin, that is Alejandro Escovedo with Bury Me, a song originally released on his solo debut, 1992's Gravity. But the rendition you just heard appears on his new album, Echo Dancing, featuring reinterpretations of some of his classic songs. Joining me to talk about it is longtime friend of the show, Alejandro Escovedo. I am Kaleo. It is World Cafe. Welcome back. Congrats on the new album.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. How are you doing? How are things?
I'm great. I'm excited about the release of the record, and it was a fun record to make. Kind of came out of nowhere, really.
Even if you're a longtime fan, I think people might be surprised. But let's set it up. You were going to Italy to record with co-producers Don Antonio and Nicola Peruk. It was going to be new originals, but you had a change of heart or a change in your mind to do something different and record these compositions that you've, you know, released over the last several decades. What changed your mind?
It was funny because my original idea was to do a completely, inspired and spontaneous record, really just to do it from the ground up and improvised, right? And I had sketches of lyrics and sketches of ideas, pieces of music, but nothing truly complete. And as we were preparing to leave and I was getting on the plane, I started listening to older material that would help me kind of inspire me, you know. And I listened to this version of Wave by the band Calexico that they had done on the Por Vida tribute record when I was ill. And they just did a gorgeous version of that song. And so that kind of turned me on. And then I started listening to other versions of songs that my friends had done for me. And I thought, you know, this would be a real cool idea to go back and kind of, curate my own retrospective and play the songs that I felt needed a second kind of exposure.
It's a fun project to revisit, but I also imagine it's tricky because you have to re-record these songs in a way that you're happy with. Here's a new take on this sketch from so many years ago. But it also needs to make sense on an album with all of these other songs that are popping up. Like, how did you sort of find the way that it's like, I really love this new version of Sacramento and Poke, and it also fits with this re-recording of Wave or this re-recording of John Conquest? How did you make the album kind of feel like they all belong together?
I think in the collaboration with the other two guys, Nicola and Antonio, we suddenly had a sound, you know? We created a sound, and we just went with that. And a song like Sacramento and Poke was a song that I've already recorded a couple times, you know.
Yeah.
I've done it on the Boxing Mirror with John Cale. And then there's a live version on, I think it's on More Miles Than Money, you know. But I've already recorded that song. And the reason I returned to that song, was that one of the factors that I really wanted to impress upon this record was to really have the lyrics stand out, you know. And for me, Sacramento and Poke is one of my favorite stories and writing, you know, lyrically. So it really was easy. I think we gave it the right kind of vibe. And now I'll never have to record Sacramento and Poke again.
I'll check in with you in a decade, see how that holds up. Before we get into a live version of it, I want people to take a listen to, say, the 2006 version produced by John Cale on the Boxing Mirror. It's Alejandro Escovedo. Take a listen to this.
The moon is brighter than the sun. My shadow's falls and it follows me as I drive your way. Branches, the moon hangs from the sky. White lights flatten the gutter while a rose climbs up the staircase. Falls upon the landing, it falls upon the landing. And as I wonder where you are, I'm so lonesome. Yeah, I could cry.
There is something darker and unsettling about this new rendition. It's sonically less aggressive, mm-hmm. but it's something's going on with the synths that, you know, whether it be like a Trent Reznor or a Brian Eno or even a band like Suicide, it has some of those calling cards. How much fun was that to put together?
It was beautiful because Suicide has always been one of my favorite bands, you know, and Eno, I mean, if it wasn't for Eno, I never would have even picked up a guitar probably, you know? And, you know, bands like Can and just all those cool bands that I used to love and still do. Cluster's another example. I felt like they were kind of, you know, Tom Waits too, you know, and his records, you know, and maybe the Latin Playboys and their records, you know. I felt like they were all kind of like guiding us and looking over our shoulder as we were making this record, you know.
Let's listen to a live rendition of Sacramento and Polk. This is Alejandro Escovedo here on World Cafe. Recorded live at KUT in Austin. It's Alejandro Escovedo's Sacramento and Poke, a song that he keeps coming back to. It's a new rendition available on his new record, Echo Dancing, which is out now. I'm talking with Alejandro. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. Talk about painting a picture of San Francisco. And, you know, there are so many great stories about your life throughout this record. Is it fair to say that in revisiting your old discography, Echo Dancing is almost a retelling of your life story?
It really is. And it's funny because it comes at a time when I'm working on a memoir, right? Mm-hmm. With my friend, John Philip Santos, who's a wonderful writer out of San Antonio. And I'm also working on a one-man performance with a theater group in Calgary called One Yellow Rabbit. And, you know, we hit upon that part of San Francisco when I lived there, the kind of world it was at that time. We're talking about, like, you know, 1974 through 78, that was a large part of my life. I mean, that's when I first picked up a guitar. You know, I was 23 years old and seemed kind of old. You know, we thought we were too old to be in a band at 23, you know, but that formed the Nuns, you know, and the Nuns, if it wasn't for the Nuns, I wouldn't be sitting in front of you today, probably, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm really excited about this idea of the one-man show and the memoir, because people might know about your legacy as a solo artist, you know, playing with the Nuns, Last Sex Pistols Show,
right,
or True Believers, Rank and File.
Yeah.
Your legacy spreads across many genres and throughout many years. Is it exciting to do a one-man play or write this memoir because it allows you to shed light on something that doesn't get talked about as much from your career that you think maybe deserves a little bit of a spotlight?
Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, there's a lot that has happened in my life that I haven't really spoken about, you know, and it was hard to talk about some of these things in front of an audience, you know, even though it seems like I've done this all my life in writing songs and shedding light on some of the bands, because everyone thinks that just being in a band is such a cool thing, but they weren't always great experiences, you know. And there was a lot that came of some of these bands that propelled me in a direction that I didn't even know I was capable of, you know? I didn't want to be a solo artist, honestly. I wanted to be a guitar player in a band. I just wanted to have a cool pair of leather pants and cool guitar and a cool haircut. And I was happy, you know?
That's all I need, yeah.
That was it, you know? And then, you know, when I became a solo artist, I was very reluctant. You know, the True Believers had broken up. I came back to Austin, got a job in a record store, supporting my family, had a baby, Maya. Yeah, you know, it does give you the opportunity to shed light on a lot of things that probably people don't know about by just coming to a club and seeing me play, or even listening to the albums, you know?
Yeah. We're here with Alejandro Escovedo on World Cafe. The new album is called Echo Dancing. And, you know, you mentioned True Believers. I want to bring up a band that I played Buick McCain on the radio, and this was the 1996, 1997, I believe. And I, you know, at the time, I was just a young, fresh-faced 17-year-old, so I didn't know who you were. So when I was tracking through this, and I'm like, why does this song feel familiar to me? It took me a second to make the connection. 1997, one album, Buick McCain, John Conquest. You know, tell me a little bit about the original and what it was like working with those guys.
Buick was probably the funnest band I've ever been in. Buick was more of a party than a band, you know, and we were just crazy. And it's funny because in Austin, people really wanted another version of the True Believers. You know, the True Believers were very popular here in Austin. So we were like the anti-True Believers. We had no ambition whatsoever. You know? we just loved playing, and we loved playing loud, and we loved, you know, irritating people. And, you know, we would take off without gigs. We would go on tour. It really wasn't a tour, but we would just like go to Oxford, Mississippi, because they loved us. Or we see that Dash Rip Rock was playing in Arkansas, and we would follow them around, ask them if we could open up. Sometimes we could, sometimes we couldn't. Then we'd find a party to play at or just in the parking lot, you know. That was our vibe, yeah.
Why the song was originally called John Conquest, You've Got Enough Dandruff on Your Collar to Bread a Veal Cutlet. Of all the Buick McCain songs, what interested you in revisiting this one?
I just love the riff and the vibe of the song. It's really kind of childish in a way, but it's cool. It's funny because John Conquest was actually a critic here in Austin, right? But he had a fanzine that he was from England. And he had a fanzine that spoke mostly about roots rock and country music. And he hated Buick. He just despised us. So he would write these horrible reviews of us. And we would take those reviews and print them on our T-shirts, on the back of our T-shirts. You know, that's how ambitious we were, you know.
You wrote a diss track about the local columnist.
It was a lot of fun, you know.
Let's take a listen to a live recording of John Conquest. It's Alejandro Escovedo here on World Cafe.
Find that me and you made you. What I made is true. Can't say that.
Recorded live for World Cafe. It's our old friend, Alejandro Escovedo. The song is called John Conquest, and it's a new re-recording that you can hear on his album Echo Dancing, which is available now. Alejandro is my guest on World Cafe. It's kind of something about alt country and Americana. You know, in World Cafe, we have been playing before it was even called Americana, or we just say folk, right? And you've been in that world for several decades, and you've been in a place that is somewhat instrumental in the rise of alt country and Americana, Austin, one of the hotbeds of it. You've played in other genres, but you know Americana music well. What do you make of the landscape today?
Oh, man. You know, I can't say that I'm really crazy about the term Americana. Because, like the country today, like if someone says they're American, they don't really mean someone who looks like me, or someone who looks like Lightnin' Hopkins, or Sonny Rollins, or Sun Ra. They mean something else, you know? And I just find that that term is not being utilized as well as it should be. I feel like it needs to include more. And, you know, there's Americana festivals in England, you know, I don't get it. You know, I loved it when it was called roots music, you know, roots rock, because that included Los Lobos, the Blasters, Tom Waits, you know, we were all, you know, just kind of like finding these kind of on a treasure hunt to find these cool records by Blind Willie Johnson or Skip James and Flaco Jimenez and Lidia Mendoza. I mean, when Rank and File was being formed, you know, we loved Waylon Jennings, but we also loved dub music, so we tried to marry the two things together.
Alejandro Escovedo is here. It's World Cafe. I have one last question about the record, which is, you know, you take these classic recordings or these songs from your catalog and you reimagine them, and then you have to go out and play them live. How much of that was a consideration you were making when you worked on it?
I should have thought of that a little harder. Because they are difficult to play live, you know, and we do play along with the track sometimes, you know, to get all the different sounds and stuff. So keeping up with that can be, for me, a person who's never done that before, can be a challenge, you know. So, but I have such a great band. And they're younger than me, so that helps because they're kind of understand all the technology that I need in order to, you know, pull this off, you know.
Sure.
And I think the only problem with it right now is me, you know, trying to make sure that I remember all the cues and lyrics and stuff, you know, like that. So, because I'm so used to being so loose on stage that I can just, you know, extend a verse or extend a chorus if I want, you know. But at this point, we're still learning them in a form that has to be true to the record, right? And I really kind of want that because the record's so cool and all the different sounds. And it's, you know, if you listen to the record on headphones, it's a lot of ear candy to kind of latch onto.
Let's not delay. Let's listen to a live performance outside your door, originally on 1994's Hard Road, but reimagined for Alejandro's new record, Echo Dancing. Take a listen on World Cafe.
what you do. A strange thing happened. An angel fell to the floor to see what she could see. The same old song that I just keep singing. No, I got it wrong when it used to be. And I know that you are sleeping. You're the only one.
Recorded live at KUT in Austin, Texas, it's Alejandro Escovedo with Outside Your Door. That song featured on his new album, Echo Dancing, which is available now. Alejandro, it is always a pleasure. You are welcome back. The doors are open anytime you want to swing by for an interview. Congrats on the record, and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity, so thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks to everybody there.
A true World Cafe OG, Alejandro Escovedo. Always a pleasure to have him on. Kimberly Junaud was the senior producer on this session, and we want to thank our friends at KUT in Austin, including Jake Perlman and Renee Chavez. They mixed and engineered the session. I'm Kaleo. This has been World Cafe.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
We saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Lisa. Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit Lisa.com to learn more. That's LEESA.com.